Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. We've got a lot of big shifts this week that we need to talk about. Mercury stationing retrograde later this evening / tomorrow, Venus will change signs, which I kind of forgot about, so I'm kind of excited for Venus to change signs, even though people give Venus and Virgo a little bit of a hard time. I'm still excited for it. But how are we doing, my friends? What has the last week brought up for us? For me, this last week has been, I would say, a lot of forced time for silence or contemplation. Like, there's been like little pockets of free time that I didn't plan for that have kind of forced me into like a little bit more of like a meditative, I guess, mindset. And I've noticed myself too being my mind's like looking for distraction and looking for kind of reasons to check out or not take the time to have those little moments when the universe gives them to you, right? Like when you're prepared for a meeting or whatever and you think it's going to start at 10 and then you're ready at 10 and you double check the schedule and it's at 11. That's a very Mercury retrograde thing, but also it's a thing of like, oh wow, okay, now I have this this unplanned hour, you know, and what am I going to do during this hour? And that can kind of be a Mercury retrograde kind of theme. Lauren, you said I'm in a hurry up and wait vibe. Yeah, same. I totally resonate with that. I know what you mean. Suze, you said last week led me to really almost regressing to past coping behaviors. I would love a card on how to stay centered this week. Totally. I pull cards at the end, Suze, if you haven't been to Witch Church. So, maybe retype that later in the in the hour here. But hey, friends, yeah, there's a lot of, there's a lot of stop and go. And I was thinking about this Mercury retrograde, and I was thinking about how Mercury will station retrograde at, it's like 8 or, I'm gonna check here, I'm looking down on my, at my laptop here, but I believe it's 8 degrees, yeah, 8 degrees Libra, and that will happen on the 9th. So today is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday. Okay, so we still have like Friday, Saturday, so that Mercury retrograde will kind of station all week, but it'll be Friday, Saturday where, you know, the moment actually comes. And I think what's interesting about this Mercury retrograde in particular is that Mercury is in an opposition with Jupiter. Okay. Now, I was thinking about Mercury in an opposition with Jupiter, and if you think about it, Mercury is in its fall, or in its detriment, where Jupiter is the strongest, and Jupiter is in its detriment, where Mercury is its strongest, right? And why is that? Well, Mercury is kind of about what is up close, you know? You know the, like, being nearsighted or farsighted? Like, and nearsighted means that you actually can't see far away, and farsightedness is, like, you actually can't see up close. Like, that's kind of Mercury and Jupiter, in the sense that Mercury can see up close, like a microscope, but can't see far away sometimes. And Jupiter can see really far away. Jupiter has this like amazing bird's eye view, but has trouble zooming in on the little details. So the fact that these planets are at an opposition with each other at the moment Mercury stations retrograde, I think this Mercury retrograde is going to present us with a lot of big picture, small picture themes. In other words, we're going to be thinking about maybe trades we are making with the universe, and trading is a mercurial activity, because Mercury is the god of the marketplace. But if you think about it, like, it's like, do we think about it now, or do we think about it later, right? Do we suffer the consequences now, or do we put it off for later? Or do we have a good time now, but then suffer for it later? Like, that's kind of the vibe that this Mercury-Jupiter opposition gives me. Like, we almost have to pick our price with this Mercury retrograde. Like, do we want to suffer through something now in order to maybe gain the benefits of it later in the long term? Or are we focusing too much on like short-term success and not completely keeping the long term in mind, right? Like, this Mercury retrograde feels like the difference between, you know, it's like the dilemma of, like, I have a extra $100, like, do I buy something that I need right now, or do I put that in savings for later? And there's arguments for both choices, right? Like, and they're valid arguments on either side, right? Like, okay, well, if you need something, buy it. Like, you need it, you have this extra money, like, give yourself what you need. Like, but then it's like, no, that $100, if you invest it, it could become a $10,000 10 years from now. So why would you, you know, like, there's valid arguments for both short-term and long-term visioning. And this is the challenge, I think, that Mercury opposite Jupiter will bring us in a lot of ways, okay? So, I think, let me see here. Amy, you said, I thought it was already in retrograde. Oof, it feels like it's already happening. Yeah, I've been kind of feeling that too, for sure. And let's see, it won't station retrograde until Friday, but starting on Tuesday, Mercury will move to 8 degrees Libra, so it'll be at its stationary degree, okay? And we really start to feel what this Mercury retrograde is all about. Also, the fact that Venus is moving into Virgo and Mars is already in Gemini. Guess who rules Virgo and Gemini? That's Mercury, right? So now we were not only in a Mercury retrograde, but now we've got two planets this week answering to that Mercury retrograde. So we can see why we might be having some like short-term, long-term dilemma situations right now. Now, I feel called to go through quickly the rising signs. And I'm going to do two at once. So I'm going to do opposing rising signs at once because Mercury and Jupiter are at an opposition between Libra and Aries. So this Mercury retrograde, at least at first, will be kind of causing some tension between the short term and the long term in the Libra-Aries axis of your chart. Okay, so we'll kind of hone in on maybe what particular area of life you'll be particularly feeling this Mercury retrograde. And for the Libra risings and the Aries risings, this Mercury opposition Jupiter is happening between the first and the seventh house. So I think for the Libra risings, the Aries risings, there's a lot of short-term, long-term tension when it comes to relationships, not only the relationship you have with others, but the relationship you have with yourself and your identity. I could see there being some calls to upgrade in relationship land for the Libra Aries risings, like this call to say, like, okay, like, can I really see this partner in my long term? Or are they just for a short term situation? And is that always a bad thing? Or can I still learn things in the short term from this person, right? You could also be kind of grappling with yourself. Like, if I make this choice right now, where does it lead me on my path? And how does that affect my identity and my relationship with myself in the future? Okay, so a lot of relationship with the self, relationship with others themes going on for the Aries and the Libra risings with this Mercury retrograde. Okay, so Scorpio and Taurus rising. The Mercury retrograde is opposite Jupiter is happening in the 12th house, 6th house axis. So this axis is a little tricky because it does have ties to like our mental and physical health. So I could see like for a few of you, like maybe it's literal in the sense that maybe there's a little bit of like inflammation that flares up, or maybe you're changing a medication, or maybe, you know, you're tending to a wound or something along those lines. Like there could be a little bit of that energy because it's the 12th house and the 6th house. But I think the greater picture of the 12th house and 6th house is a little bit more about kind of how our lives are set up, how our lives are organized to serve not only our work life, but also to serve our spiritual life. So I could see a lot of Scorpio Taurus risings during this Mercury retrograde, maybe having a little bit of like a moment where they're like, wow, I really need to make more time for my spirituality, or Short term, I really haven't had time to meditate with myself and spend time with my guides and my ancestors. But long term, I really want to feel that way, right? So that could be something that comes up for the Scorpio Taurus risings. Now we have the Sagittarius Gemini risings. We have Mercury retrograde in the 11th house, 5th house axis. So the 5th house is our area of pleasure and creativity and children, also romance, whereas the 11th house is our groups and networks and our friendships. So I wonder if some Sagittarius Gemini risings are maybe rethinking the circles that they're a part of, and maybe thinking long term, does this circle of connections help me with my creativity, or does it hinder my creative process, and do I need to think about the long term of this project, and which groups of people are really meant to hold this creative space, right? It almost reminds me of like a writer's workshop. And if you've ever participated in a writer's workshop, you know that, you know, you bring your work to the table and you and your peers are sitting around the round table. And when it's your turn, like every single person in the room is reading and looking at your work and giving you feedback on your work. And writer's workshops are always so gratifying and fulfilling when you trust your group and when you can trust that your group is giving you like constructive criticism, right? Versus when the group is just like attacking for the sake of like academic hierarchy or something like that, you know, and then you don't feel like your creative project is safe in that environment, right? So that theme could be present for the Sagittarius Gemini risings, okay? And then the Capricorn Cancer risings, we have this Mercury retrograde in the 10th house, 4th house axis. So fourth house, we have the home, and 10th house, we have career. So it's a little bit of a, how is the inner life affecting my outer life? And how is my outer life affecting my inner life? And we could be feeling some imbalances, I think, between the inner and outer life. And I know I'm kind of feeling this in a way, because I've been so worried. I mean, I'm a Cancer rising, and I've been so worried about home stuff that sometimes I feel like it's taking away from my energy in my career stuff, right? And you could feel the same or vice versa. We could also have literal home and career rethinking kind of moments. This idea that like some of us may be realizing, I don't want to do this in the long term. So what do I do now? Or I really do want to do this in the long term, but how do I have to put in this energy so I can do it in the long term, right? That could be a very Cancer Capricorn rising thing going on with this Mercury retrograde. So we have Aquarius Leo rising. We have the Mercury retrograde tension in the 9th house, 3rd house. So for the Aquarius and Leo risings, some of you are feeling this in literal academic life, because the 3rd house and the 9th house are kind of school academic houses. But I think there's a little bit more of a, I don't know. I think there's a little bit of a tension between long-term, short-term, and how we communicate ourselves for the Aquarius and Leo risings. Like, I think you might be communicating something really important, not only to yourself, Emmy, I just read your comment and I got distracted, but I'm excited. I'll come back to that. But Aquarius, Leo rising, like there's something about communicating things with yourself versus communicating things with others, communicating your belief systems, communicating how you are now going to live your life. Like I could see a lot of Leo Aquarius risings, like really shifting from like a conditioned belief that their parents maybe or family kind of imprinted on them. And I could see them being like, you know what, in the long term, I don't want a white house and a picket fence. You know, I don't want that. Like in the long term, I want to travel. So how do I do that now? Or how do I put in the work now so I can do that later? Just an example of, you know, some of the things that the Aquarius Leo risings could be thinking about. Okay. And finally, the Pisces Virgo risings. We've got Mercury retrograde causing tension in the second house, eighth house. These are the money houses in many ways. So we could see some Pisces rising, Virgo risings, maybe contemplating like, is this really my maybe financial plan for the long term, or do I want to start creating different streams of income that I enjoy a lot more? We could also see for the Pisces Virgo risings, for the areas in which your money is tied to someone else's money, like your partners or your parents, your grandparents, depending on your situation. Maybe you're thinking like, how do I invest this money? Or if my partner changes jobs, what is our long-term vision for where we're going to move? Like, there's a lot on the table here for the Pisces Virgo risings when it comes to investment, not only financial investment, but like energetic investment. I think that might be really big for the Pisces and Virgo risings, okay? And I think that's about it, my friends. That's our little overview for just a taste of what Mercury retrograde could kind of bring up in your life. Of course, I do think I am a full believer of perfection year theory, which is a ancient Hellenistic technique. If you've had an astrology reading before with me, you've probably heard me talk about this, the sense that each year we are ruled by a different planet. So I think the people in a Mercury ruled year will probably feel this Mercury retrograde a little bit more profoundly. If you're not in a Mercury ruled year, that might be why there are some Mercury retrogrades that come and go and you're like, I guess, like I didn't really feel it, you know. So it all kind of depends where you're at with your own personal astrology. So take that all with a grain of salt. So my friends, Alexandra, I'm good. Thanks so much for coming. And Amy, you said Libra rising resonates because I'm having the mommy makeover surgery at the beginning of October. Oh, wow. That's cool, Amy. And you are, yeah, Libra rising. Okay, guys, see? Amy's going to have Mercury retrograde in the first house. And there's some kind of first house is our literal body, our literal self, how we present ourselves to the world. So that's pretty spot on, Amy. And Emmy, you said, so Mal, you're finally going to move and I'm finally going to get a job. We've been talking about this forever. That makes so much sense, Emmy, that we're on a similar timeline because you are Capricorn rising and I'm a Cancer rising. So we have the opposing rising signs and we both have this Mercury retrograde having, yeah, tension in the fourth house, 10th house. So that feels really interesting there. Emmy, we'll have to talk about that more. But we kind of get a sense, my friends, again, even if you're not quite sure how this Mercury retrograde is going to affect your life, I mean, don't worry about it. But really, again, coming back to this idea, what is here in the short term? What is here in the long term? And what am I, who am I holding hands with right now? And is there a way to hold hands with both the short term and the long term? You know, that's something that kind of is coming through. For me, it really does, my personal example here is that, you guys know I've been, like, in this, housing, like, where do I move, what do I do kind of moment, now I am really trying to launch myself into moving to Chicago for a couple years, but I'm kind of picking my suffering here, because I know if I do move to Chicago, I might have to not necessarily give up full-time astrology, because I'll still be, I can't really imagine my client schedule would change, but I'm gonna have to give up that as, like, my full-time focus and go get a part-time job, you know, in the sense of, like, how do I afford keeping my business going while also working on my dream and living where I need to be living and giving myself this experience of really, I don't know, creating stability for myself, I guess that would be the thing. But we can see here, like, there's a price, right? Like, there's a price to every choice. And although, do I really want to get, who wants to get a part-time job? No one, you know, but it's the price I pay for having more autonomy and actually being where I want to be. And also it's a price I have to pay for doing something that I need to do, which is really test the waters of the financial and overall security of my business. And that's something that is the next step for my business too. So you can kind of see here, like, I'm like, all right, short term, there's going to be some prices to pay for me, which I'm okay with. I mean, it's life. But long term, what's the payoff? Are payoffs guaranteed? No. But when we take a risk, we're kind of putting our eggs in the basket of things are going to work out, right? Like, that's what taking a risk is. And honestly, Mercury opposite Jupiter can be a good vibe for taking an optimistic risk. It's not a risk that doesn't make sense. That's the thing. That's what you want to be careful of with Mercury opposite Jupiter. It's, can be a little bit overly optimistic in the sense that, we don't want to completely be like, woo, like everything's gonna be fine and dandy and rainbow and butterflies. But I think it is a time to bet on it, you know, as Troy Bolton would say. It's a time to really take that risk with reality in mind, that taking this risk is potentially going to, you know, we're going to have some obstacles to jump over with this risk that we're taking. But could it be worth it in the long run? That's something that Mercury and Jupiter can show us, right? That feels to me like that is the Mercury-Jupiter opposition. Now, Emmy, you said, I told my manager that I need to give up my admin duties and go back to more basic data entry. The pressure has been too much and has been taking me away from enjoying home life. Yes, that's a perfect example. Capricorn rising, making a shift in their work life, right? Now, the other card I pulled for this week is actually the Lovers, which makes kind of some sense, I think. Just the fact that Mercury is stationing retrograde, opposing Jupiter, as we've spoken about, but also, what signs are they in? They're in Aries Libra. And Aries Libra, that sign dichotomy speaks to the relationship with ourselves versus the relationship with others. Like, where does my energy end and where does another person's energy begin? When does codependence become toxic? And when does hyper-independence become toxic? You know, like, those are some of the themes that Aries, Libra, the access sometimes brings up. So I think with the lovers here too, there might be an overarching relational energy to this Mercury retrograde in Libra. There's a little bit of like, how is this person adding balance and harmony into my life? Or vice versa, right? How is this choice, which is the lovers, how is this choice ultimately going to harmonize and balance my life in a more profound way? Short term, it might be juggling a little bit, but long term, will it balance? Will it all balance out? Okay. That's what I'm thinking with the lovers is our overarching energy. Does anybody else have any lovers' intuitions as I'm talking about this, as you see this card in relation to this week's energy? Have there been a lot of miscommunications between you and other people lately? Have you felt like you've had trouble getting through or having your point understood? I was just talking to someone the other day and they were saying how, you know, sometimes the fear of not being understood keeps them from saying what they want to say, which strikes me as a very Mercury retrograde in Libra lovers card thing, you know? And that actually might be a challenge of this upcoming Mercury retrograde. Like, understanding our partner's point of view or our friend's point of view while also still communicating our own. And knowing that we are deserving of understanding, right? Yeah, sometimes I feel like that too. Sometimes I feel like I'm overly willing to try to understand the other person's perspective. Like, that's almost my default. When I hear something that I disagree with, I then move to automatically putting myself in their shoes, automatically considering their perspective, thinking about why they would think that way, you know, which might be a highly sensitive person kind of thing to do, right? But maybe this is codependent for me to say, but I wish other people would do that for me sometimes, you know? Like, I wish other people that I interact with on a daily basis would try to understand my point of view a little bit more, or give me the care or the understanding that I'm trying to give them. And now that I'm saying that, that's very Mercury in Libra retrograde, right? Yeah, so there could be some of that, I think, with this Mercury retrograde as well. Heather, you said communication and feeling innately understood by people who know me closely has been a theme. Yeah, yeah. And the lack thereof, totally. Suze, you said, I pulled that card last week. It definitely felt like it was about my relationship with my shadow self I tend to ignore. Yeah, yeah, that could for sure be a theme. Sarah, you said, I've been thinking about oversharing and how subjective it is. We have to share things if we want intimacy. Yeah, I like that, Sarah. Yeah, and that theme of intimacy and what creates intimacy is a very Aries Libra theme, I think. Emmy, you said, I was told I dump way too much information and too much emotion into emails at work. I'm working on backing off, saying less, and working more independently. Yeah, okay. Definitely sounds like Libra Mercury. Yeah. And Leah, you said this Libra Mercury thinks that's not going dependent. It's a totally valid need. Oh, this Mercury Libra thinks that it's not codependent. It's a totally valid need. Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Like, it's a valid need to need others. Yes. Sometimes we take the anti-codependent theme too far, right? Sometimes we overdo it and create a sense of hyper-independence that is actually not natural to the human experience, right? That reminds me. I just launched my fall course, which is a highly sensitive person harvest. So it's a group container for highly sensitive people where we spend 8 weeks together cultivating like just a really beautiful, group space. A lot of people here have done a highly sensitive person camp that I did last summer. So I'm super excited for Highly Sensitive Person Harvest this fall. And speaking of codependency, we always do a book list, and it's optional. You don't have to read anything to be in the class, but sometimes it's fun to like have a little book on the side with this particular class. And, one of the books I'm going to put on the book list for this fall is the, Codependency No More, because I know it's like a classic and I just haven't read it, so just for purely selfish reasons I'm gonna put it on our list and see what we think about it. But yeah, side note, Leah, you said everyone should try to understand the other's perspective. Libra does this naturally and I can't understand when other people don't. Yeah, yes, 100%, Leah. So friends, let's pull one more card before we get into the daily polls. And while I'm shuffling, I'll say to that one more thing about Highly Sensitive Harvest. We start October 9th. And sometimes people ask me, like, oh, I don't know if I'm a highly sensitive person or not. Like, can I still join? And yeah, I think so. I think whether you heavily identify as a highly sensitive person or not, if you feel called to it, you feel called to it. And I think some of the things that we do in this container, like the way we have healing conversations, the things we talk about, like inner child healing, setting boundaries, nonviolent communication, energetic management, all of these skills could be really, really helpful, I think, to everybody, even if you don't heavily identify as a highly sensitive person. Like, if nurturing yourself and getting in touch with your inner child is a challenge for you or something that you've been wanting to work on for a while and you just don't know where to start, or you're feeling like a group container or working with me would be really helpful, this is your place. This is definitely your place. And we're doing it during spooky season, right? We're doing it during spooky season. So I think that's, you know, it just makes it extra special, I think. So please spread the word to your highly sensitive friends. The link is in my bio, and feel free to ask me any questions about it. via DM, okay? All right, so here's our three messengers for this week. We have truth. We have message. And we have transmute. It's funny, I saw a garden snake the other day. It slithered right past me, so feeling pretty connected to the snake right now. I think this is a reminder that when it comes to the conversations that we have during Mercury retrograde, this Mercury opposite Jupiter, I think we can get very invested in our own perception of the truth. Okay? Like, we can get very invested in how we feel and base our perception of truth primarily based off of feelings and emotions. And that might block us from having heart-opening conversations, especially when we've already decided, like, this is the truth, this is how it's going to be, this is how I feel, this is what happened. So I think this is actually a reminder that, you know, to state our truth, but also with the transmute energy, don't be so married to your own truth that you can't have a heart-opening moment with someone else. Because sometimes when we go into conversations, arguments, and we're so married to our truth, we can't necessarily see the other person's perspective, or even see, like, why they wouldn't have understood us in the first place, right? So I think those are really reminding us about how we approach communication with others. Also, one thing that Marcella Kroll says in this deck, because it's the I just pulled from the Sacred Symbols Oracle, with the truth card, something she writes in the little guidebook, she says, like, when someone speaks the truth, you'll know it because it resonates within you. And I always resonated with that. So if you're not sure what to think, or you're not sure how to feel, the truth will resonate with you and kind of sit with you in a way that the non-truth does not. So keeping your ears open and your eyes open for when that is happening, okay? Oh, Sarah, you said you pulled the transmute and the truth card this week. That's too funny. Very Mercury retrograde, right? So, my friends, that's about it. What do we have? Can I pull you a card? Can I send you a prayer? While you guys are typing, I'm going to grab my water. Hang on. Yeah, what's going on this week? What's cooking with our weeks ahead? Update, guys. I don't want you to get too excited, but I literally can't believe this. 'Cause last week I said, like, facetiously, like, half kidding, I told you guys, I was like, if anybody knows anybody who needs a roommate in Chicago, hit me up. And my friend / student / colleague Elizabeth, who lives in Chicago, knew someone, and she put us in contact, and I, like, couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, the magic of Witch Church, and I am hoping to meet this potential roommate this week. So send good vibes to that. I mean, try not to get too attached, but it seems like we're pretty good on paper together, so I think it just depends how we vibe in person. But I just could not believe that that came through from Witch Church. So thanks for the sending the magic, my friends. And continue, if you have the energy, please continue to send me good vibes, okay? And Pam, you said I would love a card for the week. Ooh, Pam, Judgment. Okay, so it feels like it's a week for a really big decision or a shift that you're going to make. Judgment, for me, in this moment, feels like a commitment that you are making to yourself. And it feels like a really big commitment that you are making. Maybe it's committing to a new path. Maybe it's committing to opening yourself up to new possibilities. Maybe it's committing to a trip, committing to therapy. I don't know. Like, it just feels like a big commitment is coming up. And judgment is that moment where we're like, okay, yeah, this is a decision that I have been thinking about for a while, and suddenly, like, it feels like the time to potentially make that decision. Okay. Suze, you said, I'm a Cancer rising and definitely would love a card to center myself with work this week. Let's see. Ooh, okay, Suze the Devil. Okay. So it feels to me like maybe there's something a little bit like destabilizing about work. For me, what I'm picking up on is like, it might be a person or just the office dynamic maybe is a little bit destabilizing or feels like it causes anxiety or worry. I always say I think office dynamics are playgrounds for the wounded inner child. 100%. Like, that's why we have a boss that reminds us of our dad or whatever, you know? So it can be really hard to maintain some sense of nervous system regulation in the workplace, especially when we're dealing with a lot of energies and people that might feel like they trigger us. So I think this week, Suze, like, there might be some room for some extra nervous system care, but also examining where your shadow might be showing up at work as well. Because there's a difference between someone like being a total asshole and, you know, I don't know, doing some weird power dynamic-y thing at the office versus a projection of our own wounds onto another person, which can easily happen in the workplace. So I think there's some shadow work that's coming up this week with that. Allie, you said I would love a card from Spirit. Ooh, Allie, the Chariot. Okay, so I feel like there's some, like, moving forward energy, but also some hesitation with that. So, because in order to move forward, we have to get out of our comfort zone. And in order to move forward, we might even have to accept that our identity is changing, or the way we have viewed ourselves in the past is about to change, right? And that is the challenge that the Chariot often brings up, but I also think the Chariot tells us, like, the only way forward is forward, and you have two choices, like, to stay the same or to move forward, right? So, like, when we put it like that, the choice is kind of obvious. Like, you know, you are protected in moving forward, even if it feels a little bit out of your comfort zone. Okay, Maria, you said a card for the week. Yeah. Two of Cups. Okay. Cool. We love a Mercury retrograde. romance that goes wrong. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Two of Cups. So I think this is a week for you to connect with people who feel really fulfilling and full of love, people who make you feel good. And maybe it's a week to focus on social connection in a way that doesn't drain you, but maybe feels really like it's filling your cup. So if you felt really bogged down at work, or if you felt like a little bit discombobulated, what relationships, what friendships feel like you can kind of, really feel safe within them? And can you spend time with those friends and those connections this week? Okay. Leah, you said I'd love a card. Of course. Let's see here. Okay, Leah, King of Pentacles came out in reverse. So I think, yes, you are the King of Pentacles, obviously. But when it comes out in reverse, maybe it's a little bit of a, it just feels like a little bit of scattered energy when it comes to how you want to actually create your King of Pentacles landscape. Because his landscape is so colorful, right? And he's building a lot of different things. And he sees the shooting stars, so he knows he's, like, blessed from above, right? With all of the things he's overlooking. But coming out in reverse, I would just say this week, be careful of self-doubt. Be careful of getting too down on yourself for what you're able to accomplish, whether that's a lot or a little bit. Like, the King of Pentacles really trusts that their project is on spirit timing and their project is divinely blessed. So just keep that in mind as this week continues, Leah. Katie, you said, loved today's sermon. Wow, would love a card for guidance this week. My Venus in Virgo feels like it's taking off. Oh, okay. And Katie, you're then about to have your Venus... Yeah, your Venus return. Yeah, you are. Okay. So, because Venus is moving into Virgo tomorrow or tonight. So, the moon. Oh, this is Venus in Virgo's least favorite part of love and relationships, because the moon is like what we can't see, right? Like what we can't decipher. It's the moment we're walking through the dark in a forest and we're just using our senses and our sight, or our lack of sight and our other senses to kind of make it through, right? So I think when it comes to Venus and Virgo, on the one hand, Venus and Virgo is very discerning about who is meant to be in their life and who complements the long-term vision. On the other hand, Venus in Virgo can, I think, get spooked kind of easily and maybe their fear stories get carried away when it comes to something that might just be human about a person. Like, what's the difference between a red flag and being human? What's the difference between, a siren going off, like, oh, you know, this person isn't for me, versus, oh, these are two humans interacting with each other. Okay, so that kind of feels like the moon, like, kind of the tendency to go into the fear story instead of just following your intuition through the moment. Okay. Emmy, you're so welcome. Lauren, you said, I would love a card to stay centered in my short-term, long-term goal. Knight of Pentacles. Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race, Lauren. the Knight of Pentacles actually knows that taking their time with their project will benefit them in the long run. It's like the tortoise and the hare story. Like, you go too fast and you end up losing, right? The tortoise wins in the end because he takes his time and he goes at the pace that he knows is right. And if there's a day where you just need to let some of your writing marinate and just, you know, walk away instead of making progress, there actually might be some more progress in letting something marinate that versus moving forward and just doing it for the sake of moving forward. Yeah. Don't move forward for the sake of moving forward. Move forward when it's really, really time to do so. Okay. Ellis, you said this Libra rising needs a card for literally anything but relationships. All right. It's like the Lovers comes out. It's like, all right, let's see here. Okay, Queen of Wands. Okay, this is pretty good, Ellis. Okay, this is good. If you need some independent focus. Actually, Nick, they had a post from In Search of Tarot. They posted about the Queen of Wands the other day, and it was a really good post. But the Queen of Wands is about activities, taking action that leads to self-empowerment. And I'm hearing, too, that it's a week to get out of the house. It's a week to not stew in rumination. If you feel like you're getting in the mode of rumination, like, can you call a friend and can you guys go get coffee? Can you go to a yoga class that you've wanted to go to for a while? Can you go explore a new bookshop in your town? Like, not necessarily distracting in order to keeping yourself busy, but it feels to me like just getting out of the house will be empowering and allowing yourself to move through those rumination cycles through physical action feels like there's something there, Alice. Maria, you said always spot on. Thanks. And Allie, you said I totally feel the Chariot. Thanks, Mal. Leah, you said so on point. Thanks. Alexandra, you said I would love a card for this week. I need to take a decision on finalizing a retirement celebration plans. Yeah. King of Swords, Alexandra. I think the King of Swords is awesome for making decisions. And I think there is a clear way forward that makes logical sense. So the advice for making this decision, although it is a emotional time, I'm sure, for your family, as one of the members of your family is retiring, like there's a big shift kind of brewing and that could bring up a lot of emotions, the King of Swords is really able to make their decisions based off logic and analytics. So it's really about like what makes the most logical sense here. It's not about the emotions, it's more just about, yeah, what makes clearer sense. So it feels more simple than we may think. Katie said, thank you, Mal, so true. Venus and Virgo, I will trust my night vision. Totally. Lauren, you said, wow, that's so spot on because I'm building a new business centered on therapeutic writing. Oh, that's awesome, Lauren. Yeah, and that feels like a very long-term thing that we probably need to move through with time, and we probably need to give ourselves a lot of time to manage that, right? And it looks like there's one more question in the question box. I usually... But we'll read this. So S. Dixon, you said, if you have time, Can I have a reading for advice on my new job? Yes, let's see here. Okay. Advice on the new job, Page of Wands. I don't know if there's a lot of ageism in your job environment, in your work environment. Like, I don't know if you're the young person amongst a lot of, like, middle-aged men or whatever it is, but I think your vision is, your youthful vision, your fresh vision is both your strength and weakness of this job. Because it is fundamentally a strength, the way that you're able to see how things can be more efficient, how things can be more fresh. You know, it's your strength in the sense that you know more than, you know, maybe some other people in the workplace too, when it comes to like social media and all of that kind of stuff. But I think there's also, you could potentially scare a few people with that as well at first. So know that you will change things in this workplace, and know that you are being brought in for your new fresh perspective. But maybe at first, be careful of how you push people, or be careful of how wanting too much change at once might turn people off from being on your side later. So there might be like a going slow with your new visioning of whatever your task is at work. That's what I'm getting. And Suze, you said, thanks, Val. I'm working on a presentation on racism. So the devil card you pulled is right on point. Lots of shadow stuff gets activated for me. Thanks. Okay, that makes so much sense then with the devil coming up, Suze. Well, my friends, I can't believe we're already out of time. Estixon, you said that all really resonated. Thanks. You're so welcome. I hope we have a ultimately bountiful Mercury retrograde period coming up. I hope this Venus shifting into Virgo treats you well. I do have some openings in my books this week if anybody wants to step into my office. Also, feel free to ask me questions about Highly Sensitive Harvest if you want to talk to anybody. Talk to a past student who has taken a Highly Sensitive Harvest, or I guess it was called Highly Sensitive Person Summer Camp last summer, but it's a similar program. So if you would like to talk to someone about their experience, I can set that up. Whatever you need, step into my office. Also, this is annoying of me to say, I know most of you already know this, but yeah, watch out for the scammers. There's a lot of scammers out of control right now. It's really putting a damper on creators' Instagram experience. So if you see a hacker or a scammer, just block, report, move on. Most of us as content creators don't need people to reach out to us and say, hey, there's a scammer. We cannot see the accounts anyways. The accounts always block us. So it doesn't even really help to know. Just block, report, move on. This is my only account. And I think that goes for many of your other favorite astrologers and tarot readers and content creators, okay? So thanks for that, friends, and I hope we will talk again soon. I'm wishing you all a very bountiful week ahead.